We welcome into the program the voice of the Five Stripes, Mike Conney. Mike, how you doing?
The excited voice.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? How you doing today?
I'm good, Hugh. Good morning.
Well, it's going to be a fun short turnaround here because one of the teams is going to go to Yankee Stadium and play on Saturday. Bam, bam. Here you go.
Yeah, and even before that, you got to play on Wednesday in U.S. Open Cup. So it's going to be a busy week. I think you'll have two very, very different lineups on Wednesday and on Saturday. But I do think, as Tata Martino indicated, after Saturday's match, you're going to have first-teamers playing against Charleston on Wednesday. And I'll remind you again, Atlanta United really wants to win U.S. Open Cup because it gives them a direct path into CONCACAF Champions League. Darren Eales has repeatedly talked about how they want to play against the best clubs in North America and eventually the best clubs in the world, which they can do in the FIFA Club World Cup. So they're going to be going for it Wednesday night, and they're facing a very, very good USL club in Charleston. They have not lost in their last nine matches. They have not played in a week. They've got some very, very good players who are atop the USL statistical tables in some of the categories. So tough match Wednesday, and then a really tough one Saturday at Yankee Stadium. Atlanta United and New York City 1-2 in the East. The winner of that match will, at least for the moment, go into the Supporter Shield lead. So very, very big, busy week coming up.
Mike, why do you think Harris Madungeon and Alejandro Bedoya lost it the way that they did in the 17th minute of the match yesterday?
Man, I'll tell you what. You're talking about a 33 and a 31-year-old. Each of them have over 60 international appearances. Guys that need to know better. Here's what happened, Hugh. I'll try to do this as quickly as possible. So Martinez is fouled in the penalty area by Austin Trusty. It's a penalty kick. Philadelphia thought it was a soft foul. They wanted it looked at by the VAR. So they're trying to delay the penalty kick. They're making Soren Stojka, the referee, communicate with the VAR. And finally, after a minute, Stojka, the referee, says, look, we're going to do the penalty kick. There was no clear and obvious here. The VAR looked at it. We're playing. Well, then Alejandro Bedoya decides to further the conversation, try to keep delaying the penalty kick. And as he's doing this, they keep warning him and warning him, we're going to play. And then finally, Stojka blows the whistle, points the penalty spot, says penalty kick. So every player except the player taking the kick and the goalkeeper must leave the 18-yard box and the arc on top of the 18-yard box. They have to be out of that area until after the ball is struck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bedoya decides to then walk into that arc area and, quote-unquote, tie his shoe. And at this point, he's been warned four times, stop delaying. So Soren Stojka shows him a yellow card. Well, he already got a yellow card for pulling down Joseph in the 11th minute. So he's out of the match now. Well, the Philadelphia Union players thought, wait a minute, why are you throwing our captain out of the game for doing that? And they've alleged that Stojka lost count of how many yellow cards Bedoya had. In my opinion, and Jason Longshore, I think, articulated this very well, Bedoya gave the referee no choice. When you're warned four or five times to play on and you disobey, you give him no choice. You have to show him a card. That's when Madunin really lost it because he's saying, well, now, wait a minute, you can't send our captain off for that. And he goes postal and gets right in the face of Soren Stojka, gets a yellow for dissent. Something else occurs, immediately another yellow, he's red carded, and now it's 11-9. Just a total mental meltdown by the Philadelphia Union, and something that resulted in their three best players being taken out of the match, because what they had to do, they lost Bedoya, their captain, they lost Madunin, who's basically their darling to Nagby, everything is linked through him, and then they had to sub out Borek Doncic, who's their number 10, their Almiron, to put another defensive player on the field. Just a total meltdown. Unfortunate that Atlanta United couldn't really exploit that, but one of the wilder scenes I think you're ever going to see in American soccer.
Mike Conney joining us. Yeah, it was a mess, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it did make me miss Philadelphia a little bit when I saw that because that was truly a Philadelphia moment when I saw that happen.
The funny thing was, Hugh, the guy who was trying to be the peacemaker was a 19-year-old kid also from Philadelphia, Austin Trusty. So it was the Philly guy, the Philly native, the kid who was actually trying to pull his veteran teammates who are not originally from Philadelphia out of there. Very bizarre scene.
Mike Conney joining us on the WakeBoard.com hotline. Of course, Atlanta United against, he mentions, the U.S. Open Cup. That'll be Wednesday at Kennesaw State, Wednesday night between Atlanta United and the Charleston Battery. You say some top club players are going to be involved here. I mean, do you have a guess yet, or you haven't seen a lineup, I'm taking it?
No, oh, I wish I had. It would make my life a lot easier. You're going to see a mix of starters on the first team, subs from the first team who will start, and I think you're going to see some ATL UTD players too. Tito Vajava, I think, is going to play Wednesday. I mean, that would be the big headliner because he's getting back from that knee hyperextension. He was not in the 18 on Saturday, but Tata Martino said right after the match that he thinks Tito will play Wednesday. So I take that as a hint. Tata also said everyone that was in the 18 who did not get in the game Saturday night will play on Wednesday. Now, Romario Williams did play a little on Saturday. I think there's no doubt he starts at striker. I think you see Brandon Vasquez. I think you see Andrew Carlton. I think you may see Sal Zizzo. I would have said you'd see Mikey Ambrose, but I think he played himself out of Open Cup with how well he played Saturday night. Now you're really going to need him for the first team filling in for Greg Garza over the next couple weeks. So I think they rest him for Saturday. But I think you're going to see that kind of mix. You might see a guy like Vajalva. You might even see, John, and this is kind of fun to think about, you could have a quote-unquote front four of Romario Williams, Ezekiel Barco, Andrew Carlton at the 10, and Tito Vajava, which would be really, really fun to watch. And then I think Kevin Kratz plays the role that Darlington Nagy has been playing.
And then the big club goes off to New York City for another shot at NYCFC, and of course that game that we had about mid-April or so against those guys. We're going to have a viewing party, by the way, at Fideau Irish Pub in Buckhead for that game Saturday night, starting at Saturday afternoon, pardon me, starting at noon because the game's a 12:30 kick. But our viewing party will be at Fideau on Saturday. You ever been to Yankee Stadium, Mike?
Not the new one, no. This is going to be a first for me. I'm really looking forward to it. It's kind of like where we were set up in Nashville. It's a baseball stadium, so we're behind home plate. So I'm not sure about our vantage point. But it'll be cool being in that stadium. They're drawing about 20,000-25,000 a game. So that should be a lot of fun on Saturday. Belmont Stakes Day in New York City, so it'll be a big day up there.
Right, with the Triple Crown. Now, the complaint from last year from Atlanta United, if I recall correctly, Mike, was that being in Yankee Stadium, the field's small. It's the smallest field
it is
in Major League Soccer, and it just does not suit them to have, you know, because they want the big wide-open spaces to run in.
Exactly. And it's a real home pitch advantage for New York City. It's a real disadvantage, as you said, John, for a club like Atlanta United that really wants to play down the flanks and play wide open and you know, use their speed to their advantage. So it's just one of those things, you know, you're going to have to deal with it. I think these next two road MLS matches you have coming up, New York City and Columbus, if you just get a result in both of them, that's really, really good. I think now we're seeing a real clear top group emerging in MLS. And Atlanta United obviously at the top of that list because they lead Supporters Shield. But I think it's Atlanta United, New York City, Columbus Crew, FC Dallas, who's only lost once, and Sporting Kansas City that won last night. Then maybe right below them, you have the Red Bulls who lost to New England Revolution. But I think now you have a clear separation. We know who the elite clubs are in MLS right now, and Atlanta United, which is one of them, will play two of them over the next 10 days.
You know, speaking of elite club, Tata alluded last night that he felt that with Philadelphia Union being down a few men, that his team kind of played a little down to the talent. Did you see it that way?
Yes, I agree. I think it's only natural, though, Hugh. I mean, you basically, it's like in hockey, you have a two-man advantage. I think sometimes, and I'll use the hockey analogy, because if you're watching the Stanley Cup final, if you see a team go up on a two-man advantage, it's almost like sometimes teams can get a little too patient, and they get out of what they want to do, and they tend to relax a little bit, and they look for that perfect goal. It is certainly disappointing that you could only burn them once in open play when they were playing down two men, and you even gave up a goal to them with them playing 9-on-11. But that's soccer. That happens. I think the reality is, as I wrote on 92.9thegame.com yesterday, don't focus on the style points. Just focus on the result. Whether you win by one goal or 100 in MLS, 3 points is 3 points. And Atlanta United right now, guys, on pace for 70 points this year. That would be an MLS record. So I like the fact that even though some people feel like they're missing opportunities and not playing their best, they're still on pace to have the best season in MLS history.
Well, Mike, we look forward to Wednesday night at Kennesaw State with the U.S. Open Cup and Saturday's showdown Saturday afternoon at Yankee Stadium and the next step for United. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes, Bub.
All right, guys. Take care.
You the man.